And welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley here alongside Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe will be along here shortly here on the program. Michelle, what's going on? How are we doing?
Doing good today, Robbie. Today is a big day. I'm going to get a Tennessee license.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you were going to get like a Tennessee Vols shirt or something.
Well, that is. I just thought
that was where you're going with it. I guess not.
No, we are becoming a big girl because I just got my New York State taxes, and whoa there. When I moved here, I didn't know how long I was going to be here.
Sure.
But yeah, I gotta switch that ASAP. ASAP. Great thing about Tennessee.
Yeah. Hey. I think that technically makes you official when this happens.
I'm a Tennessean.
Good stuff. I like it. We got a lot to get to on the program here today. Going to hear from Charles Robinson coming up at 6:30. We'll get the latest on all things NFL, especially NFL quarterbacks. That's coming up at 6:30 here on the program. The choice is yours later today at 7:45. John Glennon from SI.com and NHL.com dropping by at 8. Adam Vingan at 9. And lots to get to with Adam Vingan. Tough night last night for the Nashville Predators. They fall 6-1 at the hands of the Los Angeles Kings. So they win, big win on, I guess, Tuesday. Last night was Tuesday. Big win on Monday against Anaheim. 6-3 the final there. They fall last night 6-1 against the LA Kings. So the second half of the back-to-back, not going particularly well for the Predators last night. David Rittich in net. I know some people think like the second half of back-to-back is just some insurmountable obstacle. They are over 500 on the second half of back-to-back, so I don't blame that as much as I do. Just the Predators not really executing last night. Turnovers left and right. They led to power play goals the other way, shorthanded goals the other way, 5-on-5 goals the other way. Predators were giving up a lot last night, and they fall 6-1 to the hands of the LA Kings. Joe Rexroad is along with us. That's a tough loss for the Preds last night, Joe, and one of those ones where it's almost like if you're a coach in that game, you address it, and then you take that tape and you light something on fire and you throw that tape in the fire, even though I know that this is 2022 and they don't use tape anymore. That's what I'm doing if I'm John Hines last night.
Yeah, or take a sledgehammer to it or
well,
something.
You could do that.
VHS tape. It seems like they have a stinker every few.
Yeah.
They kind of on a rotation of a stinker every three or four games, or maybe not quite that frequent, but can't have too many of them.
Well, I can tell you this. It seems like every time they lose, the teams around them, for the most part, that they don't need to win. Like the Blues beat the Capitals on the road last night. The Stars beat the Oilers last night 5-3. The Golden Knights did lose 4-0, but they lost to the Jets. So the Jets are now only 2 points back of the Knights in the standings. So it does feel like every time the Predators lose, there are teams either gaining ground on them or passing them back in the standings. Like we knew St. Louis was probably going to pass them back, and they have now. St. Louis is back up to second in the Central after their win last night. But the Predators now back down to the first wild card position, 5-point lead over Dallas. Dallas with 2 games in hand.
So, it's all right there, including not being in the playoffs. It's still a possibility. I mean, I don't think that will happen, but it's all very possible with 18 games of play.
It sure is, and that sets up a pretty big game coming up on Thursday against Vegas. Like, Vegas right now they are struggling, and
yeah,
they're right there. I mean, they're not in the playoffs at the moment, so they're going to have a pretty fair amount of desperation coming up on Thursday. Obviously, Soros will be back in net for that one, but that's a big one coming up on Thursday. If you can win that game in regulation, I mean, you would have 80 points. Vegas would have 72, so that's an 8-point lead, and you've got two games in hand on them. So that's a massive game coming up on Thursday if you can win that one.
Yeah, and if you can, then you're talking about four of possible six on a West road swing, which most teams would take any time.
Oh, yeah. There's no question about it. So that's a tough one for the Predators last night. By the way, Philip Tomasino, goal scorer last night. So Preds pick to click, continuing to go well for Robbie Stanley as of late. I'm now only one behind Rex Road and two behind the listeners.
Wow. I mean, even in a complete stinker, you find a way. That's impressive.
With Philip Tomasino, by the way.
Yeah, with Philip Tomasino. That's
that maybe worth a point and a half? I don't know.
No.
Simmer down, but Rob, no.
But we will be impressed, though. We will
thank
impressed.
You. Appreciate yes. that.
Yeah.
We'll see how the Predators respond as they take on Vegas coming up on Thursday. Tough loss for Vanderbilt last night, Joe. Great game against Xavier. Ryan Poore's favorite team, Xavier, which if he's listening right now, I'm sure I'll get a text message with many profanities laced towards my way. What did you think of the game last night for Vanderbilt?
Yeah, they had a great chance up 10 second half. And, I mean, Scottie Pippen was just he's just been going off here lately. After really, really struggling to shoot at the SEC tournament, he's hitting everything now. And then Miles Studi gets going, and they were in great position. But Adam Kunkel, former Belmont Bruin, does a lot down the stretch. You know, also on the same day, Will Richard, probably the most talented or one of the two most talented players on the Belmont team this last year, is in the transfer portal. So, you know, kind of an example of the difficulty these days, if you're a good mid-major with really good players that, you know, high majors want, you know, it's tough. But Kunkel hasn't really played a ton for Xavier. Like, he hasn't done as much as he probably expected, but he kind of killed Vanderbilt last night. So they end up 19-17, a win short of going to New York. That would have been, a really nice outcome for them. But they still got some good stuff done. And it was a season of progress. Now you got to see if Scottie Pippen Jr. comes back. I think he'll probably go. I don't know where he'll actually be playing next year. I guess my guess would probably be the G League. But, you know, we'll see. He didn't totally close the door last night.
Well, to that point, Liam on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, asked, Pippen was amazing last night. To think he never had a chance to display his skills in the NCAA tournament is really sad. What are the chances he comes back for one more try? I'd put him pretty low. I'm not going to say there's no chance, but I'd put him pretty low. What percentage chance do you give Scottie Pippen Jr. to coming back to Vandy?
I just think sometimes, and this may end up kind of being the case with Kennedy Chandler, Tennessee. I mean, I think sometimes the mind is made up before a season even happens. It's obviously a very interesting case with Scottie Pippen Jr. He would not be going because there's like this pressing need, you know, to get a professional contract. Obviously, you know, his family has a lot of money. Also, he is getting some name, image, likeness money now, which, again, we've talked about it. And that's part of why he came back this year. Sometimes people just are ready to go into professional whatever, and he wants to be a professional basketball player. I think he's got a chance to be in the NBA. His size is a problem. I mean, it's why he was under recruited to that extent. You know, he's a tremendous, fantastic player. But I just don't know at the NBA level. I don't think that there's going to be a huge demand for him. You know, he's got to go certainly see how he compares. He went last year, he went last year, went through the process, got feedback. The feedback was like, you know, you're not going to be a first round pick.
Right.
I don't think the feedback's going to be different this year. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. But like, if you're forcing me to guess right now, I feel like this is one of those, okay, I'll come back for 1 year. Mind is made up, and here the year has happened. If he did come back next year, you know, that would be a loaded team because they have most of everyone else coming back. He could be intrigued by the idea of playing in the NCAA tournament, having that chance. And sometimes the mind changes here during this time period, but I'm just the writing on the wall kind of tells me he's gone.
You don't think he could be drafted by Chicago? Maybe where, I don't know, number 33? You think that's a possibility?
There you go. Well, maybe. You know,
move aside, Pops.
Maybe Scotty Sr. come back and play with him. I mean, LeBron's like insistent on playing with Bronny, right?
Yeah. So
make it happen.
Hey, maybe so. I'm interested to see. Like, I think ultimately he can get to the NBA. I agree with you. I don't think he's going to be a first-round pick, but he's kind of like the perfect example of a great college player. Because I think it's fair for, especially in Vanderbilt's case, he's a great Vanderbilt college player. That, you know, sometimes it doesn't fully translate to the NBA, but I think he's got a chance to maybe make it there and stick one day. I just don't know if that's going to be right now.
Yeah, well, and then the question is, so you can always get better, but he's not going to get bigger,
sure,
right?
Although his father did grow a lot at like age 21 or whatever it was.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think by now he had had his growth spurt. Yeah, so.
Hey, you never know. He could grow like 5 inches.
He could.
Could you imagine?
That's basically what happened with Scottie Pippen.
Yeah, that's what happened to him. I mean, you know, he went to Arkansas State. He didn't have a lot of interest as a high school. Well, that's what happened to Dennis Rodman, too. Dennis Rodman, you know, like graduated high school at like 6'1", and then Pistons drafted him to 6'8".
Yeah.
And he's like 24 years old.
Still waiting on my growth spurt.
Yeah. It's coming, man.
Thanks, man.
You're in your athletic prime. Don't forget.
That's true.
Don't ever forget. I think that he can be in the NBA. I think he can be a backup point guard somewhere. Change of pace guy. You know, you got to – I guess for him, you know, just keep getting that jump shot as sharp as you can get it. You know, he gets caught sometimes over-penetrating, then he just kind of has to bail out and has some turnovers, things like that. I mean, but overall, I mean, his vision, his quickness, his craftiness, it's fun to watch. Just like how much does that stuff work in the NBA? I do think that he'll be in the league. I think next year, if he goes, like he probably will spend most of the year in the G League. That'd be my guess.
We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Speaking of Vanderbilt, Joe Rex Road, coming up next, there was something that happened yesterday that has Vanderbilt fans more united than I've seen in a while. We'll get to that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Ohio. Good night, everybody.
Thank you, gentlemen. I blame that new Vandy logo for that whole operation that's going on right there. But Xavier off to the garden and just hoping that perhaps Trae Young has left points there in the rims in New York City. Sports.
That's John Anderson from ESPN last night, taking a little crack at Vanderbilt to open Sports Center last night, blaming the new logo for Vanderbilt's loss in the NIT against Xavier last night.
Wait, was that Anderson or Scott Van Pelt?
I think that was Anderson.
The answer, okay. Man, everybody's taking a shot at it.
It was quite the day on Twitter yesterday with Vanderbilt fans. Now, let me start by saying this, Joe Rexroad, because I feel like I'm trying to search back through my head and think about when a team either comes out with a new jersey or a new logo, like how many people actually like it when it's released. I don't think the number's very high. Like, it's very rare that it's like, oh, so-and-so's come out with a new jersey. That looks great. Or, oh, this team has come out, this university has come out with a new logo. We love it. Most of the time, it's met with a whole lot of resistance and hatred online. And that was certainly the case for Vanderbilt yesterday. They announced that they are visually rebranding, which I believe is the term that I saw yesterday, changing up some logos, going from the star V to more of a, I guess, just a gold V would be the way I would describe it. We'll tweet it out at 1025 The Game on Twitter. It's a new look for Vanderbilt. They've got new hats on the baseball team, new jerseys coming for football and for basketball as well. And it was met with, I would say, mostly negative comments yesterday by Vanderbilt fans on social media. Now, this is, again, one of those things where how many people actually don't like it and how many people are just maybe of the silent majority who do? I don't know. I don't know how to determine that in this conversation. But I can tell you this, Joe. Most Vanderbilt fans I saw yesterday, not a big fan of the new logo change for Vanderbilt.
I think it's almost guaranteed. And you're right. Sometimes something happens, you know, or whatever, you know, reaction to a game, reaction to whatever with a sports fan base. And it's like there's a very loud, you know, it might be a very loud minority of people who are very upset, you know. This is not that. This is, I mean, I know a lot of Vanderbilt fans. I don't know anybody who likes it, and I'm not surprised at all. And that's exactly what you'd expect. And it, again, this is, I believe this in my soul. If this logo that came out yesterday was the logo from, you know, from the last 15 years,
yep,
and the logo of the last 15 years was introduced yesterday, that logo would be totally hated. What is this stupid star crap? Oh my God. I mean, it's guaranteed. So, and I don't know. Now, I'll do a little story time. Sometimes it's worse than other times. Okay.
Okay.
So someone tweeted this at me yesterday. So if you look at, I'll see if I can find it in my mentions and, so that you can look at it. So I think it was the year 2010, story time, 2010, Michigan State, well, it was Nike decided to, they're going to redo their logo. Okay. It's going to be this whole thing. And they were like a Nike test school and it was like cool gear. So, okay, look here. I'll CC you guys.
Is this the Michigan State tweet? Cause I think I see it.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So you can look at the side by side there. I'll tag you guys just in case anyway. So you can look at the side by side there. I mean, it's you know, it's basically the same thing. I mean, it's not the same thing, but it's like, okay, it's like the Spartan head. It's like the old ancient, you know, Greek Spartan head with some alterations, right? They thought it made it look a little bit cooler, a little bit like tougher and more menacing, you know.
Sure.
People went so nuts, like so nuts that I think it was like 4 days later. They said, forget it. Never mind. I mean, Nike, sorry. You know, appreciate all the time and money. And, you know, thanks, but no thanks. We're just kidding. Now, I remember the AD at the time was just like, okay, well, if you guys love this logo so much that we are going to, like, it's going to be everywhere. And actually, they put it on, you know, for example, they put it on mid-court of the basketball, Breslin Center, you know, and what it used to be like a block S. Like, but, you know, that people went nuts, and that's what happens. So, I like the old logo better than the new one, but the outrage, like, this is so awful. Oh, my God. It's a freaking V that's gold. I mean, you know, if it was a G that was purple, then I think maybe you'd have a point like, oh, my God, that's just way off, you know? I mean, this is how it goes. I mean, even like, you know, let's think about it, like the Preds, you know, the Preds Stadium Series jersey, right? Yeah. No, I don't think it was all, I thought it was kind of ugly personally, but still, like the reaction to that, people were like,
people were just mortified.
I think Vandy fans missed the star because the star was so specific to them. I don't think it's more of the V, it's more of, well, the Vandy, like the star is how you know them.
I will say I enjoy the star.
Well, they have
logo.
The star, but they have the star in this, right? Or they have variations.
There's variations of it, but I enjoyed the star V that they've used the last 10, 15 years. I like it. Yeah, I think it's good.
I mean, look, I like the old logo better. I agree, but, you know, I just don't see. I mean, I looked at some of the gear. Like, there's a picture of Tim Corbin with this on his hat. I thought it actually kind of looks cool on the, like, the baseball hat. Like, I feel like on the apparel, it looks pretty cool, you know? Someone did mention that it's similar to the Villanova V, which is, that's a good point. So, you don't necessarily want that. But I guess, you know, part of this is, yeah, you know, I think this goes along with a lot of things that they're doing over there, right? They're, you know, the fundraising and everything, the facilities, but also they try, you know, there's a different logo for the university than for the athletics. So they're now making one logo for everything. You know, some, and think about like pro teams too. some change all the time and everything, and that's sort of their thing. Like you have the Oregon Ducks, their thing is like, who knows what they'll be wearing this week, right? And then you have some brands. Like I did think about this yesterday, like if the Detroit Tigers ever changed from like the Old English D to like some like, you know, mushroomy or marshmallowy D or something, that'd be, you know, like that would be awful, right?
Yeah.
That's also like 100+ years of the same logo. Vandy has changed quite a bit,
I will say. And I found this to be hilarious. Jerry Stackhouse tweeted out a photo yesterday of him wearing like the new logo on a hat, like the baseball hat. And the picture that he took right behind him is the Star V logo hanging up on the wall. It's hilarious. And the first response is, that's a nice logo behind you. You should use it for your athletic teams, coach. It's just amazing.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, I gotta find that now.
It's great stuff. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. William from Madison texting in says, I just don't understand all the complaining my fellow Vanderbilt fans are doing. Only thing they did is drop the star and made the V bigger. People are acting like they changed their colors to orange and white. This is coming from William from Madison on the text line.
I've seen that photo. I've seen that photo. That is pretty funny.
It's amazing.
It's right in front of the logo, the old logo.
Shout out to Jerry Stackhouse.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's like, I mean, there are some of these. Here's another one now that I can think about outrage in my life. And actually, this relates to Jerry Stackhouse because he was wearing these uniforms. The Detroit Pistons changed to like teal.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Mid-90s. Oh, now they had already changed, I think, when they got him. But yeah, they changed to teal, and it's just horrific. And then they finally, after years, they went back to like the good, like the red, white, and blue. Those are the classic good uniforms that you should be wearing.
Biggest travesty in logo sports history is the Ducks going from the Mighty Duck logo to whatever it is they have now. Like, it's awful.
That's a good point. Yeah, why? You know, why? So, yeah, are Anaheim Ducks fans still mad about that?
Should be. I don't know if they are, but they should be.
Listen, I'm mad about that, and I am not even a Ducks fan.
Yeah. I think they didn't want to be the Disney hockey team anymore, which is fine, but keep the logo. It's one of the great logos of all time.
Just beat the crap out of somebody, and it doesn't matter what logo you wear, okay? Right. Come on. go ahead.
SF on the text line says, I like the new logo. It's a nice upgrade. So there is a vote in positive affirmation of the logo.
There you go. I mean, yeah, there's been some people who have been, yeah, great. I mean, it's going to be so, I saw Jimmy Wyatt like, thanks. I'm going to stick with the star. Thanks though.
Not changing out his visor.
And you know, Jimmy Wyatt is Mr. Level headed and going to support Vandy through thick and thin.
That's right.
Okay. So if he's on social media complaining about this, there's a little bit of an indication of the reaction, but also I don't know. To me, like if I'm Vanderbilt, I had to have known this was going to happen, right? Like you had to have known, like you do something like this, people are going to freak out. And look, a lot of people have spent a lot of money on, you know, nice gear and sweatshirts and whatever else. So now that stuff is, I guess you could look at it as obsolete.
It's vintage. You could also
look at, exactly, or vintage. That's right.
Yeah.
That's how I would choose to look at it.
Well, I'll say this. I understand the outrage of it. I don't really love it at the moment either. It kind of looks like a word art logo. I'll be straight with you. But I will say probably this time, 2-3 years from now, I'll look at it and be like, yeah, it's Vanderbilt logo. All right, cool. Like, it's not going to affect me really all that much.
I mean, I look at that. So, actually, I'm looking at the Stackhouse picture, okay? And it works really well. Like, I'm looking at his hat. And again, like, if that had been for a few years and they switched the one on the wall, people would be like, what is that stupid looking V? Oh, and it's inside his star? Oh, my God. How stupid. Get out of here. I want my V.
It does kind of look like Jerry Stackhouse is like a Vegas Golden Knights fan in that photo, I will say.
Maybe he is.
Maybe so. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. San Ann Portland texting and said, if the team wins, the logo could be a bag of chips and no one would care. So it's all about the performance on the prospective fields and or court.
I think there's people who care more about uniforms and stuff than anything else, I swear. There
very well may be, based on the reaction. Coming up next, you'll hear from Charles Robinson. We'll get his thoughts on the latest in all things NFL, including the quarterback movement that is taking place. What could be next? Who could be next with quarterback movement? That's ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Lots of quarterback movement in the NFL. Deshaun Watson to the Browns. Baker Mayfield and Jimmy G still hanging out there waiting their final destinations this year. Lots of things going on in the NFL offseason. We caught up with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports to get the latest. Here was that conversation with Charles Robinson, who joins us every Tuesday at 9 o'clock.
Matt Ryan goes from Atlanta to Indianapolis. What do you make of that move for the Colts? What do you think Matt Ryan still has left in the tank?
You know, it's interesting. I think the Baker-Mayfield stuff with the Colts was always overblown. I think that was more his pursuit than theirs. And I think the thing about Matt Ryan, it was interesting. I was talking to another team that was in the market for a bridge starter, and we talked a little bit about Ryan, and he kind of compared him sort of to what the Colts had done with Phillip Rivers, but he was somebody who just said, look, right situation, another dome team, right scheme and coordinator, you know, probably a guy that's got a couple decent years left as long as the line can protect him. I think he just described Indianapolis, honestly. And, you know, I think that it gives the Colts the runway of at least 1 year, but probably more like two, to search for their next starting quarterback. And, you know, just the other options out there, I think this is probably the most experienced guy who's still got talent. And also, they were just remarkably upset at Carson Wentz. That's one thing going through the combine and having a chance to talk to some guys. You could tell, like, they really were. Part of what I had heard was a lot of it was the fact that he hadn't gotten vaccinated for COVID, but then also that it was like he was like influencing other guys on the team, you know, their decision whether or not they were going to get vaccinated. As we saw with the in-season Hard Knocks, like Quentin, you know, Quentin Nelson didn't end up getting, you know, he got COVID, he wasn't vaccinated, and they lost him for a portion of the schedule there. And so I think they just want a pro and someone who's not going to cause any problems in the building and very coachable and all these things. And that's pretty much Matt Ryan. I mean, he's pretty much as vanilla as you can get in terms of like a talented, experienced starter.
Well, you said, this is their bridge quarterback before they, you know, find their new quarterback. Are you sure Chris Ballard isn't just addicted to finding the latest scrap heap guy every year and, you know, trying to hit the lottery with one of them? I mean, it's been an incredible, I'm joking, of course, but, it is like,
few,
like
I mean,
it's been a few. Yeah.
I think, particularly when it came to the guys that they've had in there, their assessment's been correct. It hasn't been the right fit. It hasn't been the guy who's going to get into the Super Bowl. And they've tried younger guys. They've tried, you know, guys with experience. They tried someone that, you know, Frank Reich had a track record with in terms of Wentz. I just think that they would have loved to have resolved this with like Matt Stafford. That's, you know, it's a team that would have absolutely, gotten their hands on Matt Stafford if they had had the ability to do that. But they didn't, and they've not been in the race for any of these other, major guys changing teams. Russell Wilson didn't want to go to Indianapolis, and, you know, Aaron Rodgers wasn't going to leave Green Bay for Indianapolis, and, you know, Deshaun Watson, they did make a call on Deshaun Watson. It was someone they were interested in, but the Texans are like, come on, I don't want to trade them inside the division. That's just completely ridiculous. So it's not like they didn't poke around the bigger options to just get it done once and for all. It's just they've been on the outside looking in. And in a way, Matt Ryan kind of fell in their lap, because I think for Atlanta, once they decided they were going to go down the road and pursue Deshaun Watson, I think they knew plan B was not going to be Matt Ryan. It was going to be Marcus Mariota if they could ultimately get their hands on him. So it just this opened up for Ballard. It was relatively cheap in terms of the experience level. And, I mean, look at what Washington gave up for Wentz. I mean, it's kind of crazy when you think the assets you got, you basically spent half of them to go get Matt Ryan instead of having Carson Wentz. And I think some people think Matt Ryan's the actual upgrade over Wentz at this point.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Charles, what do you make of the Deshaun Watson situation? Signs a five-year, $230 million contract, fully guaranteed with the Cleveland Browns. Yeah. What did you make of that move?
It's going to be a lot of scrutiny. I mean, the owners' meetings are going to be interesting, because you're going to hear, I think not only does the organization have to address a lot of the tough questions, you know, general manager Andrew Berry, head coach Kevin Stefanski, Jimmy and Dee Haslam as the owners. But I think Roger Goodell is going to get asked about that contract specifically, and not only everything else surrounding Watson, but the contract not only being fully guaranteed, that's one aspect that definitely sent shockwaves through the league. But then the way it was structured to appear to help him avoid any financial penalty in year one, if a suspension were to come down the pipeline, that upset a lot of other teams. I was talking to another AFC GM, and he was like, they have to avoid this deal, right? He's like, the league has to avoid it, because it's set up to avoid a potential penalty from the NFL. He's like, we can't be allowed to do that, right? And I'm like, I don't think there's an answer to that. But there's also a flip side to this, too. Everyone assumes that the NFL is going to wrap its investigation in, you know, the next few months, and then everything, if there's a suspension, will happen in 2022. The NFL doesn't have to do that. There's nothing in the CBA that says when an investigation has to be wrapped up. They could wait into 2023. They could wait until halfway through 2022 and say, hey, we're giving you the Calvin Ridley suspension. It's going to be a year. That obviously would impact the $46 million in guaranteed money in 2023. So, you know, there's a lot still riding on this, and there are a lot of difficult questions that are going to be asked. But there's no question the Browns, I mean, they knew this is what we have to do to get this guy. And I think for them, they're sitting there going, you know what, if we do 80% of this, if we guarantee 80% of the salary and we still give up the same assets, it's going to be viewed the same way, and we're going to lose. So this was just their all-in push, and clearly they've wanted to resolve the quarterback position in a way that they feel like we don't have to think about this for the next 5, 6, 7, 10 years, and that's what Watson was about.
So where is Baker Mayfield quarterbacking next season? And where is Jimmy G quarterbacking next season? And how has this picture changed for the Niners in terms of the market they expected versus the reality of it?
Well, first off, the Niners, I thought something that was really interesting. I was talking to somebody with the Browns. I had gone on Robert May's podcast with the Ringer, and I had made the mistake of answering the question of, The Athletic. Yes, I apologize. I'm surprised you didn't jump me immediately.
I was going to wait.
My podcast mixed up there. So we all have them now. So I'm constantly trying to remember who's doing what for where. But yes, the Athletic football show. So I was on there, and he had asked me, we were talking about Cleveland, or we were talking about Jimmy G, and I said, you know, the funny thing is, in terms of the right fit, like for an offense, the skill position pieces, the protection, all these different things, you know, the right coach for him is probably Stefanski. Like Cleveland fans are like, he's saying they're the front runner for Jimmy G. This is early on. And so someone from Cleveland called me and was like, hey, I'm hearing on radio that we're now the front running team for Jimmy G. I said, no, that's not what I said. So we kind of got into this conversation about Jimmy, and this person, his estimation was like, he's like, look, you know, we're not going to bring in a player that's worse than Baker. And that's how they assessed Jimmy Garoppolo. So if he's worse than Baker Mayfield, that means, at least in the eyes of this evaluator, pretty good evaluator, by the way, Jimmy G's probably in line behind Baker now. So that pretty dramatically changes his market, because guess what? Baker doesn't have a market. and the trade assets for Jimmy, good luck. I have no clue what you're getting for him now. And there's just no desperation out there. I think Seattle makes a lot of sense for Baker Mayfield. I'm just kind of curious why there isn't maybe more traction than there has been early on with that. And maybe part of it is that, you know, Baker has to understand that that's actually probably a good place for him to go. But I just don't think the assets are going to be this idea of, you know, the Browns getting like a second round pick out of Baker or the 49ers getting a second round pick out of Jimmy G. That ship has sailed. You know, there's just too many seats that have been filled, and there's going to need to be something that happens that creates a level of desperation for a team out there. And I just don't see it right now. It's things are about as dead as they could be when you consider the compensation that the 49ers were looking at. Supposedly Jimmy G was, oh, we got a second round pick on the table. I'm like, really? I mean, are we sure about that? Because I don't think that was ever really on the table. He would have been moved by now for that.
Charles, how did the Davante Adams situation deteriorate with Green Bay the way that it did? And what do you think of him now with Derek Carr out with the Raiders?
Yeah, you know, what was really interesting about that was so much was focused on Aaron and everything that was going on with Rodgers and the franchise. People sort of forgot to delve a little more deeply into what was going on with Davante Adams and the franchise. And the funny thing was, I think the level of, I don't know, I don't want to say distrust, but sort of some of the things that Rodgers was talking about with the culture and players and, you know, kind of feeling like you're not part of the organization the way it used to be. Adams apparently was feeling that too. And I think that he just sort of got lost in everything that was going on with Rodgers, and it overshadowed a little bit of the fact that he was pissed. He was not happy with the team. And I think what could have changed that is when negotiations sort of opened on the extension, and they had gone very badly last year. If they had come out of the gate with the money that, you know, the Raiders ultimately gave him, which really is honestly, it's a 3-year deal. If you really look at it, it's a 3-year, a little less than $23 million a year. If they had come out of the gate with that, I think Adams probably is there now, but it would have had to have happened a lot earlier. Instead, it kind of festered, it lingered. Everything was going on with Rodgers. I think that just opened the door for Adams to start to think about maybe going and playing with Carr. And what I was told was, you know, like Aaron, he did know before he did his contract extension, he knew Adams was likely going to force a trade, or he wanted to be traded. I think Aaron, though, was optimistic that, hey, this can be repaired. I'm coming back into the fold. We're going to get this worked out. They're going to offer him the money that he needs to be offered, and it'll get all patched up. But at that point, Adams had kind of made up his mind and wanted to move on. And interestingly enough, they were in the market for another veteran wideout, and then also I think potentially drafting another player, and that they're definitely in the market now for another veteran wideout. I would look at them as a potential trade target, honestly, going into the draft. If a team decides to unload a pretty decent veteran receiver, they're going to be the first probably franchise that gets called.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest here on Robbie and Rextro. Charles, appreciate you taking time to join us. Great stuff as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Charles.
Absolutely. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll react to what Charles had to say there. Take more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game.
That was Matt Ryan, new Colts quarterback, yesterday at his introductory press conference discussing his belief in this Colts roster. Seems like there's strong belief in the Colts roster coming from Matt Ryan, new quarterback up there in Indianapolis. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I got some tickets to give away to see Shinedown coming up at Bridgestone Arena on May 4th. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Shinedown coming up at Bridgestone Arena on May the 4th. Joe, we heard from Charles Robinson about the quarterback movement in the NFL. There's been a ton of it this summer. Russell Wilson goes from Seattle to Denver. Matt Ryan goes from Atlanta to Indianapolis. Deshaun Watson from Houston to Cleveland. And we're still waiting to see what happens with Baker Mayfield and Jimmy Garoppolo as well. Is this now the new trend in the NFL in your mind when it comes to quarterback movement, specifically quarterback trades in the NFL? Because I feel like we've seen a lot of them the last couple of years. We've certainly heard rumors about a lot of them, including a certain number 12 up there in Green Bay. This kind of feels like this is a new era in terms of quarterback movement in the NFL. Do you think it's here to stay, Joe Rexroth?
Well, I do think it kind of goes along with the just giving up on rookie quarterbacks so quickly. I feel like there's the clock has been sped up on, you know, the development time of a new quarterback, of a rookie quarterback. And then I don't know. I do think it's different for sure. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt. I do think that this has also just sort of been a few things that happened at once. And I don't think you count on this every off season, but you kind of had the Russell Wilson thing that came to a head. Like you mentioned, Rodgers. I think that there's more player empowerment to say, you know what, I'm making a move happen. Like, I'm not happy, and so I'm going to, you know, do whatever I can do to make it so that I can go somewhere else. So I think there is more of that. And so that combined with teams, I mean, obviously everybody's, you know, in this league, basically it's like either you have one or you're searching for one, but it's the absolute focus, you know? So you look at teams in different situations. Like you look at the Stafford deal, a team that's totally going for it, that's all loaded up and needs to be better there, has a decent QB. So then it works out well when you just happen to have a bad team with a really good quarterback. You don't always get that, right? Usually if a team has a quarterback of Stafford's quality, they're not crap, right? You know, but let me just show my coffee mug for the day. That is the power. Now, that logo better never change, baby.
You restore the roar.
Change that beautiful lion logo. Look at Lions. That thing. Oh, man. You know, so you got different situations at work here, but it is. I mean, it's a great question and discussion because it is very different. It just, there's less, this is our QB. Well, I guess there's less of what the Titans are doing, frankly, which again, I mean, you know, the Titans, though, also in a different way. I mean, they got a super value move to bring in a backup who then became their starter, who became a really good starter. But you know, they're sticking with their guy. I think there's just less sticking with it from the teams and from the players.
Yeah, I think there's way less patience. And I feel like Brady started all this. Like, you go to Tampa, and then all of a sudden they're all in to win, and it works. Matthew Stafford traded from Detroit to L.A. And, again, we've talked about, like, kind of the circumstances behind that. But they go all in. It works. And now teams are looking around saying, man, look what happens when you go and get one of these quarterbacks. That's why Denver's done what they've done. You've got Matt Ryan in Indianapolis now. Obviously, the Deshaun Watson thing is a little bit different of a situation, but he's now in Cleveland. Like, there's just a ton of quarterback movement that's taken place the last couple of years. First off, I love it. Like, I think it makes the offseason really, really interesting, even more interesting than it already was with the NFL, even though sometimes quarterbacks unretire on Selection Sunday, which Joe Rexroth just loves here on the program. But I love it. Like, I hope this is the new way of doing things in the NFL because I'm all for some quarterback movement every offseason.
Yeah, I think you're probably right that Brady, the fact that it worked out so well, but let's remember that, I mean, Peyton Manning, you know, different situation because his team, it was a whole thing with the neck and in a lot of these things there are circumstances that are specific to the situation, you know, that vary, but he was one of them. I mean, you can go back, I'll go back 30 years to when, you know, the Niners for a few years there had Joe Montana and Steve Young on their roster, you know, like two of the greatest quarterbacks. And finally it was like time for Steve Young. And so Montana goes to Kansas City, and Kansas City thinks like they're going to win a championship with Joe Montana. It didn't happen. You know, they weren't quite good enough. And he was, you know, he was on the back end of his career. Although it's funny because back then the back end of your career was like, ooh, he's in his late 30s. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Ancient. But so there's, I mean, it's not like it never happened, but yeah, I think you're right. If it leads to a Lombardi, then everyone else is going to be like, well, okay, then we got to figure out a way to get one of those guys. Now, granted, there's still the traditional route. There's still going to be, I mean, it's funny. I know we're going to talk about draft stuff later, but it's just funny. It's just so predictable. And we talked about this. Guess who? Oh, Malik Willis. Could he be number two overall to the Lions? Yep. You know, like his pro day was incredible. Like all these, Kenny Pickett's hands looked huge on his pro day. Oh my goodness. You know, it happens every year. Like the quarterbacks eventually just rise to the top of a draft, but one way or another, that's what everyone is. It's all about. Can you find that guy?
Joe, very quickly, we heard Charles say that at this point, there's not really a market for Baker Mayfield and Jimmy G. Are you surprised by that? And where do you think those two land?
Yeah. I mean, unless people think that like last year with Baker Mayfield, like he's not going to get over this stuff, like he's permanently damaged. And I understand he's a petulant child sometimes, but yeah, Baker Mayfield's good. I believe he's a good quarterback. He's better than quite a few people who are starting for NFL teams right now. So I've got to think that there's, again, unless there's some injury, like real injury concern with him, I don't understand why there wouldn't be any kind of market. The Jimmy G thing is, I feel like a lot of people look at him like, yeah, he's fine.
Yeah.
He's okay. I think a lot of people also credit a lot of his success to Shanahan and that offense and the design of plays and all that. So that's tough for the Niners because I think they thought they were going to get a decent return on him, and it doesn't look that way.
Begin your exciting career in broadcasting today. You can find career opportunities by visiting the Tennessee Broadcasters Virtual Job Fair at broadcastersvirtualjobfair.com. Apply online now. Coming up next, we'll get into the draft for the Titans, including a certain quarterback that they visited yesterday. That's on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.